Welcome to An Examined Education, a podcast recorded at the Cambridge School, a Christian classical school in San Diego, California, where we examine an education worth pursuing.
On today's episode, Jeff and I sit down with a few of Cambridge's graduating seniors and talk about their experience looking for colleges, and we do a bit of a retrospective on their time at Cambridge. This should be a good follow-up to our conversation with Becky Priest, our college counselor. And once again, we thank you for your patience as we are all recording from our individual rooms, and the audio quality is not great. Nevertheless, we hope you enjoy our conversation. Without further ado, here's Jeff.
Welcome, seniors, to An Examined Education. We have a few of you here, and I'm excited to talk to you about some things. First, what I would love to do is to have you introduce yourself and tell us how long you've been at Cambridge. Well, let's start with Lauren.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lauren Colt, and I've been here since fifth grade, so this will be my eighth year at Cambridge.
Wow, 8 years. Same as me.
I am Nathan Kim. I've been here since the start of Cambridge, so I've been here for 14 years.
14 years? That's a lot. You have a great podcast voice.
Oh, thank you.
Tori, who are you and how long have you been here?
Hi, my name is Tori Tinsley, and I've been at Cambridge since sixth grade, so 7 years.
7 years. Nice. And Stephen.
Hi, I'm Stephen Priest. I've been at Cambridge since second grade, so 11 years.
Nice. So we got some long-timers, Nate and Stephen, and some, well, 7 and 8 years is still a pretty long time. We recently spoke with Becky Priest, our college counselor here, and she walked us through some of the processes and what she's able to do for the Cambridge School. And so we thought we'd follow up with some of the seniors here and talk a little bit about that college process and what they were thinking about and how it relates to their education here at Cambridge. So Lauren, what were some of the things you were looking for when you were looking at colleges?
I ended up with a pretty detailed list by the time I was narrowing it down. But I realized as I went through each of the qualifications, it was really similar to the environment that Cambridge provided. So a small community, maybe some sort of Christian aspect at college. I was looking at both secular and Christian schools. So that could have been like a Bible study or a nearby church. Faculty mentors, an environment where I'm challenged academically and a place that I can grow alongside peers who are equally invested. And then the core curriculum was really important for me. I wanted a school where I didn't necessarily have to retake physics and calculus if I didn't have to.
Amen.
Yes.
Sorry, Stephen.
I was able to find that school. And I think it'll be a much better experience than just having to retake the same high school classes.
I think one of the biggest things that I looked for when doing my college research was the faculty mentors and whether or not a college had those. In my experience at Cambridge, the faculty has played a big part in how much I enjoyed Cambridge and what I got out of it. They played a big part in not only like what I learned, but also like what I learned academically, but also like what I learned personally and how to grow and just like how to grow in like everyday wisdom, like how to like interact with certain situations that I got myself in, whether those be good situations or bad situations.
All good.
And, you know, just sure. Like, yeah, all good.
I forgot my jacket. And it's 68 degrees.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. 100%. So yeah, I think the faculty mentors are definitely a huge thing that I looked for at the colleges that I was looking at.
I would actually agree with Nathan. Like when I was looking for colleges, I was looking for a college that had that faculty student mentorship. aspect to it, which is why most of the colleges I applied to were small to medium sized schools that all claimed that their class sizes were 20 students or less, which really allows for a lot of faculty student mentorship. For me, I was also looking for colleges that had a liberal arts education, because that's the type of education I've been receiving for most part of my life. So I really wanted to get that in college as well. And then I was also looking for schools that would provide me access, would provide me like resources and networks and internships and associations that would benefit me for a specific career path that I've chosen for myself. So all those things combined really helped me choose what colleges I wanted to apply to.
My college search was primarily centered around the academics at the colleges. I've been, you know, ever since I toured my parents' alma mater, Washington University in St. Louis, back in like probably eighth grade, I stepped onto that campus and I was like, yes, I want to go to college, because I really love that environment and I really want to go there and study hard things and see where that goes. And so, you know, part of the process for me was finding out what I want to study. But once I kind of got that solidified, and I think the main three things I'm interested in are math, philosophy, and linguistics. And so once I kind of figured that out, I just molded my entire college search based off of what colleges have those programs and what colleges have programs that integrate those three things. Basically looked for, I got on college websites, I looked at their departments, and I looked at what courses they have, how many courses they have, what faculty they have. When we visited, I talked to professors whenever I could. I sat in on classes just to figure out, do they have what I'm looking for to the specificity and the degree that I'm looking for? And then from there, the other questions of social life, will I know my professors, all that has come into play. Location has been another factor as well. I've taken a couple of California colleges off my list because they're in California, and I want to leave California for college. So that's basically how my college search has gone.
Did you find that visiting the schools was your best way to get the temperature of the school? And did it, you know, was that the easiest way to go down your list and see the things that you liked? Or did you do a lot of mostly online research, or how did that happen?
I did do a lot of online research, read through student commentaries on the school, figured out what they liked and what they would improve. But definitely visiting the campuses helps me get a feel for, as you said, the temperature, not only weather-wise, but also what are the students like. And I got to sit in on classes in a couple of my visit days, and that was really helpful in figuring out, is this an environment similar to one that I've grown up with and enjoy, or is it something that I don't think I could flourish in?
Did any of you find anything surprising when you got to visit your school? You got there and you're like, oh, this is crazy.
One of the biggest shockers for me was the weather. I visited school out in Boston in December, and the one thing that immediately struck me was it's cold here. It was like 30 to 40 degrees the whole time I was there. And then when I flew back to San Diego, like 3 days later, the first thing I felt when I walked out of the airport was a nice like draft, warm draft of air that was like, you know, 70-ish degrees. So the weather was a big shocker for me.
Were you like, hey, this shock is pretty cool, I think I like cold weather? Or were you like, why do people live here? They don't have to.
It was a little bit of both. I was like, wow, I could live here for maybe 3 weeks. and I think I would get bored of the snow. But I also like, some part of me really like wants to experience what the four seasons are like. Because I've lived in San Diego my whole life, so I really don't know what that looks like besides 70 degrees year round.
Yeah, same here.
Anything surprising, Tori, for you?
I only visited one out of all my 14 colleges. So most of my college visits happen like through like their virtual online thing. But when I did visit that one particular college, it wasn't exactly what I was expecting. So I guess that was nice to go visit it, because it wasn't fully what I was expecting. expecting, with the way it looked at least, like all of the academics was kind of what I predicted it would be, but the look and the atmosphere wasn't what I thought it'd be.
Yeah. So I know you guys applied to a bunch of colleges, and I'm sure they each had their own number of essays to write. So, and probably lots of different topics. I was wondering if anything that you had to write made you really appreciate what you received at the Cambridge School, and how specifically it kind of helped you in writing those essays.
Yeah, I think particularly when I was, or I guess only when I was applying to Christian colleges, the really in-depth theological education we've gotten through Cambridge was so helpful in equipping me to be able to effectively and succinctly talk about what I believe and why I believe it. The word counts were killers for me because, as all my teachers know, I like to write to the very maximum amount. So that really helped. I remember one essay I had to write for an honors application was, how are you pursuing something you're really curious about? And unlike most high schools, we get to write a senior thesis. And so that was the perfect way for me to talk about, I'm really interested in the intersection of government and literature and how dystopian novels might mirror 21st century America. And so that was a great way to rant about something I'm particularly interested in. And also was fun to talk about with those interviewers.
I know I come back to, I'll probably end up talking about this a lot, but in one of my essays, I wrote about the faculty mentorship that I got at Cambridge. So the whole essay revolved around like my life and like some of the like big things I struggled with in terms like academically and in terms of like who I was at the school. And I think the one thing I kept coming back to was like how much the faculty like helped me and encouraged me to like keep working hard, and like the, like how they were able to recognize like potential, I guess, and like continue to encourage me to work hard and try. and I think at the end, I just, one of the things that I concluded was that the faculty are some of the people that helped me become the person I am today. And I think one of the things that I concluded at the end of this essay was that, was how much appreciated the faculty and everything they did for me.
Well, for me, most of my colleges either asked me in an essay format or in-person interview what was an extracurricular activity that I am like really involved in at school or outside of school. And so I was able to talk about house leadership because it's something that's very unique to Cambridge. So I was able to talk about how it's a very unique form of student government, and how as a house leader and house prefect, I'm able to have a role in shaping my school's culture by planning and executing weekly school events, as well as just working with other house leaders and house prefects to create an environment that's rooted in camaraderie and mentorship and healthy competition. So I was able to talk about house leadership and what it means, as well as talk about the house system. And I think for most people who don't know about the house system, it's something that's really cool and exciting about Cambridge. So as I was writing about the house system and house leadership in my essays or talking about it in my interviews, I was just able to appreciate how much I really like those aspects of Cambridge.
One of the things I was able to talk about a lot in my college essays, and I think something that I am particularly thankful to Cambridge for, is, I would often start my college essays with, you know, coming from the background of a classical education where course integration or subject integration is a given. I'd often start essays something like that because a lot of the places I applied to were either cared about liberal arts or cared about collaboration. And so I could talk about collaboration not only between subjects or not only between people, but also between subjects. I could really sell myself on the way I think about the subjects that I'll be studying. And I could say, I want to come to your college because you have this, and because I want to study the way these things come together. And I would maybe sometimes in some of my essays, I would be able to list a question that I'm thinking about. And I think that kind of thinking where I take the subjects and I put them together, or where I look at multiple subjects and come up with a question about them, those are things that I think Cambridge has uniquely trained me in, to think about the application between the subjects, to think about how, you know, what we learn about epistemology with Mr. G and rhetoric applies to how we think about language and the general form of language, which we have studied at Cambridge through Latin and Greek and Spanish and even Chinese earlier on. And those are, being able to talk about that in college essays really showed me just how much Cambridge gets its students to think in those ways. And it's not something that I would ever give up when studying at college either. So
I think that's a helpful segue. I'm curious if you all, looking back into your time at Cambridge, if you can kind of describe kind of qualitatively the kind of work that you did at Cambridge. And then maybe too, is there any project or assignment that you especially remember being interesting, insightful or otherwise?
Yeah, probably the assignment I had the most fun doing, because it was very, very broad and kind of open to interpretation, was in 11th grade, we got to do a project on tragic and comic framing, looking at Arthur Miller's The Crucible. And what we had to do is look at the characters in The Crucible from a lens in which we blamed them for all the bad things that happened, and then another in which we sort of portrayed them as human and flawed, but able to be redeemed. And so my partner and I, instead of writing an essay, because we were both a little sick of it at that point, we ended up making two short films about it. And it was a really fun way to combine rhetoric, and both of us are really artistic, and so enjoyed doing all the film editing and including musical clips. I learned how to work iMovie, which I'm sure will serve me very well at some point in my life. really entertaining assignment.
That's great.
I guess like the most obvious like project that kind of is like the culmination of everything that we've learned and studied at Cambridge would be our senior thesis. And personally, like probably like the one assignment, it's not the only assignment. Definitely I cared about all the assignments, but the senior thesis, or my senior thesis, was very meaningful to me, because I had the opportunity to talk about the subjects that I really loved. And I got to talk about those subjects in light of other subjects and kind of look at an issue through multiple lenses of things. So for me, I'm looking at Greek mythology and how it shaped Greek society. And I look at it through like a legal lens, like how Greek mythology affected the legal system, how it's affected how people understand history, how it's affected how the Greeks viewed their religion and how they understand certain cultures and traditions. And so I studied the origins of mythology, both like historically, like pinpoint the origins of mythology, the use of history, which is like the obvious way to do it. But also I look at the origins of mythology through literature as well, like where like the first myths began. So looking at like the Epic of Gilgamesh, like, and all those we studied in like seventh grade. So yeah, it's like a big culmination of everything that we've learned throughout my time at Cambridge. And it's been lots of fun and lots of work.
I've really enjoyed senior thesis class, because I've picked a topic that I was genuinely interested in, and it was kind of inspired from an internship that I did over the summer. And so my thesis topic is about homelessness and education. And I'm basically arguing that America should consider Finland's approach when addressing those two issues in our nation. So not necessarily adopt, but consider and synthesize. So when it comes to homelessness, I'm basically arguing that America should incorporate the philosophy of Finland's Housing First system, and then synthesize aspects of that model with the current American models and organizations that seek to address homelessness. And so I basically demonstrate why Finland's philosophical paradigm is necessary in addressing America's homelessness. So basically, Finland operates off of a housing first type model, which is based on the fundamental belief that a home is a basic human right, and that a home is essential for one to integrate back into society and completely reorganize their life. So basically, I look at different aspects of the Finland's system and show in my thesis like which aspects we can integrate in America. And then I talk about education in a similar way. I just look at aspects of Finland's educational model, and then I point out what makes it unique and elaborate on what methods we can consider implementing in America's public school system.
In a lot of our classes, we do reading, and we read, you know, primary sources, historical texts, everything from Aristotle to Kant to modern day rhetoricians and theorists. And a lot of the work we do is not just reading those things, but putting them together, putting them in conversation with each other, and then having that conversation with each other in class, with each other and with the teacher. One text in particular that we read between, I think it was 10th and 11th grade, Esther Meek's Longing to Know. And that book talks about what is knowing? What does it mean to know a thing or to know a person? Which is a very strange and philosophical question on some level, but on another level, it's very relevant to, well, how do we as Christians know God? And she says, knowing God is just the same as knowing your friend or knowing your neighbor. She actually says your auto mechanic. And we read that between 10th and 11th grade because we've kept coming back to it. And especially in 11th grade, because that year, Esther Meek actually came and spoke at our school. And so, you know, a typical assignment around that time was we went back to the text, reread it. Our teacher in apologetics class gave us some texts and said, I want you to reread these. And then we discussed them in class beforehand. And then we went to her talk and we had questions prepared for her because we thought we continued to think about the topic. I was at the beginning of the year, I was even considering doing my senior thesis on it because it intrigued me so much. But that didn't happen.
Well, let's say you're talking about epistemology. How's that integrated into your other classes? And we talked about a little bit on a theological level with knowing God, which is kind of Esther Meek's whatever premise. But are there ways that you've been trained or your mind has been shaped to use different things in different ways? Because you talked about integration a little bit earlier.
Esther Meek is about epistemology specifically, and it's about how we know things. But more broadly, what that relates to is just how the human mind works in general. You know, how we know things is also similar to, you know, it relates to how we have emotions about things or how we talk about things, which is rhetoric. And so the philosophical value of that work also played into our rhetoric courses because we got to talk about how do people understand things and how do we as speakers and presenters choose what things to say, choose how to say them in such a way that will play to the way the human mind works. And so it's relevant for rhetoric, which obviously is relevant for speech class. And as I already said, is relevant for theology in that how do we know God, how do we know each other, and how do we think about doctrines that require a theory of man, and also how do we think about doctrines that maybe we personally don't understand? Because if her thing is about knowledge, if her theory is about knowledge and how we know people and know things, when we think about knowing the scriptures, what if there's a question that we don't understand? Does that mean that our faith is nothing, that it should be dead because we don't understand something, there's a question lingering? Well, no, that's not how knowledge works. And it's that kind of thing. So it plays into everything from theology to philosophy to rhetoric to speech class, everything in between.
I can speak to the integration aspect, like just the fact that all of our classes integrate with each other and what we learn over the years just really connects. So what we learn in rhetoric really influences like our discussions that we have in apologetics. And what we've learned in neuroscience this year has really influenced our studies in ethics class. And because Cambridge has like this aspect of combination of faith and learning, we're also able to apply like a Christian lens to everything we're talking about in neuroscience and ethics and literature, which opens up the table for deeper discussions. I think in Greek class, we've also been able to really appreciate integration happening because what we've learned in Greek and Latin strongly relates to what we've learned in government a little bit this year. Because when we're studying like democracies and republics, like we're able to relate what we're learning in Greek to government. And then when we're translating different Greek texts, it almost relates to the different oration styles that we learned in rhetoric as well.
Nathan, did you want to add anything to the kind of work that happens at Cambridge?
The kind of work that we do at Cambridge is more geared towards like who we become as people rather than like, this is all for college, like do it for the SAT, like do it so you can get in a good college and get a good job and make a lot of money and then, you know, live a good life, good in quotation marks. Rather, I feel like it's for like the personal formation of ourselves, like so that we're able to like in the integration, like the fact that we integrate like subjects like across disciplines and stuff helps us like make connections in real life and helps us like with the ability to think well. And I think going back to Cambridge's motto, think well, love rightly, live wisely. The education and the kind of work that we do here has definitely like the end goal of the education at Cambridge is to create a student who can think well, love rightly, and live wisely.
How does that happen in the day-to-day? Seems like a tall order to shape humans into flourishing beings, but how does that work?
As I see it happening, it's like the teachers ask the students like the hard questions, the ones that require us to think more, like not just like, hey, regurgitate these facts to me, but rather like about how this one thing that we're talking about can influence something completely unrelated. So like, how can we translate what we learn in Latin and Greek to what we learn in math? And like, it's asking like hard questions that are like helping us, I guess, like they're sending examples for us on like what it looks like to think well. And then they're making us do the difficult work of thinking well, I guess. So I see it as most prevalent in the way that the teachers teach us.
That's awesome. That's great. So about 6 weeks left here at the Cambridge School, and you'll be moving on. What do you think you'll miss most about your time here at Cambridge?
That's a hard question to answer without... feeling a lot of regret, just given how my senior year is going right now. But Cambridge has been my home for the past 8 years. And so it's going to be really hard to leave this community. I'm going to miss my dedicated teachers who are willing to listen to me talk about my college search process after school and teach me to love things like Latin and statistics that I probably wouldn't have gotten into on my own. I think house is an awesome opportunity that I definitely won't get at the college I'm going to. But it's been such a great way to meet people in different grades to, I'm in the house leadership program, and that has been probably one of my favorite parts of Cambridge, getting to have fun organizing and making pretty spreadsheets and documents, but also find a way to serve people with what I enjoy doing. It's been a really unique opportunity, and I'm really gonna miss it.
I think what I'll miss most about Cambridge is probably the community. The community here is very special. That's just because I've been a part of it for pretty much my entire life. And I see the community boil down into two parts for me. It's like the student body and then the faculty, and staff. And yeah, that includes you, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Jake. The one thing I love about the student body is that everybody here knows each other and we can all do life together, despite the fact that we all have different personalities, likes and dislikes, hobbies, or even the fact that we're in grades. It's all those daily interactions that I have with other students that I think that I'll miss so much. I'll miss the random morning interactions or check-ins from seventh graders. I'll miss playing basketball out on like the grammar school ground, like the second and third graders. And I'll even miss being like tackled while walking to my class by a few graders every day. I'm really going to miss it all. But those are just a few things that I'm going to miss. And then there's the teachers. I already talked about how much I love the teachers. But I am going to miss the teachers a lot. And I think the reason why is because the teachers ask us to be one thing. And that one thing is to be inquisitive, to like ask good questions of them. And what's really special about the teachers at Cambridge is that they live by example. They are constantly like asking about our lives, not just academically, but like the personal side of our lives that I feel like not a lot of people ask about. How are you doing really? Like those kinds of questions. They're willing to do life with us and they're there when you need them the most and are willing to help you become like your best self, I guess. So I'm really going to miss that like mentorship that that all the teachers and faculty and staff have provided in the time that I've been here.
I think I'll actually miss being one of the first graduating classes, just because it's such a unique opportunity at Cambridge. And I feel like most people on the outside may think of it as a disadvantage just because you're being treated as guinea pigs. But I think that being a member of Cambridge's third graduating class has given all of us the opportunity to take on leadership positions that other students at other schools wouldn't really have the opportunity to take on. So we've really been, I think our class especially has been able to be leaders and pioneers for our school. And we've been able to help like shape our school curriculum and help shape our school culture. And I think we've done that by just, we've been able to help like develop the house leadership program and develop the house system and establish our school's honor code. And we've been able to speak to prospective parents and students about our school and be able to perform at school events. And I think that that's something that's really cool. And it's really enabled us to be at the forefront of our education and to be an advocate for our school. And I don't think I would have really had this opportunity at any other school. So I think that being among one of the first graduating classes is definitely something that makes Cambridge special to me.
I think just adding on to that, I also am going to really miss the whole like student ambassador side of being at school and being part of the first few graduating classes. It may seem like a weird thing to like, but like I really enjoy like staying at school late at night for all these like advancement events and being able to talk to all prospective parents, even just like staying like and helping up the event afterwards or like setting it up. All of it has meant so much to me. And there's never been like one time that I've been like, oh, I have to go to this advancement event. Mr. Yoder's forced me to.
Nathan, you're the best.
And like all of those events, like I'm going to miss them all. And hopefully I can still be a part of them even after I go to college.
I hope so too.
I guess one of the things I'm going to miss is, I'll start by seconding what Nathan said. The random people that you get to see in the morning walking in, Even for the introvert that I am, that's in many ways therapeutic because I know the people and, you know, they're having a great day and that helps me have a great day or, you know, whatever else. It's good to see those people. So many people that we know in a small community. The other thing that I'm going to miss, I think, hopefully this isn't too cliche. I'm going to miss the Christian environment. I'm going to miss, coming to school on, the days when we have devotions and going to the devotions and, you know, hearing something from people that I know and that I love and trust, say, you know, speak good things to us as a community. And the colleges that we're all going to may have that to degrees, but it won't ever be the same as at Cambridge. And that's something I'll really miss. So
you have about 6 weeks of high school left and a little bit of summer, and then you're off to your respective colleges. What do you think you're looking forward to most?
I think everything. Living on a really pretty college campus, like figuring life out on your own, being more independent, even though it seems like it's going to be a really scary thing, it seems really exciting as well. Having like a plethora of extracurricular activities to get involved in and a plethora of courses to choose from, because there's so much to like explore. I'm really interested to see how my Cambridge education is going to benefit me, because my parents have always told me that since I'm going to Cambridge and I've received such a rigorous education, that college is going to be easier for me than it was for them. So I'm really hoping that's true and I'm interested to find out. But yeah, I'm really excited about that. And I'm also really excited for college traditions and some of the schools that I applied to. They have like a residential college system that's almost similar to our school's house system. So that's going to be really cool to get involved in too.
I don't even know where to start. I can't wait to have more independence. Figure out, I guess, like the simple things, how to do laundry by myself, how to, you know, be responsible and get up on time. But I guess more importantly, exploring my various passions and figuring out which one I might be able to turn into a career and which one might serve me better as a hobby. I can't wait to get to know a new community and figure out how I can impact them. And then explore new communities, particularly study abroad. I'm really looking forward to that. And the honors program that I'm accepted into incorporates a lot of that. So Lord willing, the coronavirus will be over by then and we will be able to take.
That's great. Nathan, what are you looking forward to?
I really look forward to the freedom that college is going to give me. Hopefully there's some amount of freedom. I also look forward to the opportunity to meet new faces, make new friends.
Stephen, what are you looking forward to most?
Yeah, I think both of you have already taken what I was going to say, but definitely the classes, definitely, you know, I want to jump into that with all my being and start studying whatever they have to offer. Definitely the meeting the professors, getting to know them wherever I may go. I haven't actually made my college decision yet. Definitely the idea of living on campus with my friends is going to be interesting, but I think it'll be rewarding for me.
That's great. Never in any time of your life will you have more independence and the least amount of responsibility. So you need wisdom for that.
So seniors, as we wrap this up, I'm just curious, do you all feel ready? Are you equipped? Do you feel confident in what you've been able to study and accomplish at Cambridge? And you're ready to embrace whatever lies beyond?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Dang it, you took my word.
Tori, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Lauren, Stephen, Tori, Nathan, thank you all so much for joining us and giving us a glimpse into the senior life from Cambridge to beyond. You guys are great. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you so much.
For An Examined Education, I'm DJ.
And I'm Jeff.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to An Examined Education. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to check out our website, schedule a tour, reach out to the advancement office. We'd love to see you. And we'd love to hear what you have to say about the podcast. So be sure to check us out on your favorite social media platform. Again, that's at An Examined Education. Leave us a comment, rate and review, and we'll see you next time.